All right, so topic that we're turning to now is, until now we've done just defining the parameters of both the Isser Geneva and the Isser of Gzela. Now I want to just address the conceptual issue, just the nature of the relationship between them, the differences between them, the question whether or not these two Isurim are essentially equivalent Isurim, both Asurim, both forbidding, L'kichas Mamon She'en Shalom. If you do it in one way, Seser, then it's an Isser of Losignovu. If you do it another way, Galoi, then it's Losigzol. So they have different Shemos. They are over, but essentially they're equivalent parallel Isurim. One could then ask, well, if that's the case, why would Akash Baruch Hu do it that way? Why wouldn't you just say, forbid all Lekichas Mamon? Don't specify if it's Beseser versus not, and then you'll just cover it all with one lav. So here, but Lanu Torah Mitzvos, you have different Shemos Chalukos, where you could have collected all of them into one lav. So, right, we could have said just don't steal. If you do it this way, you get one lav. If you do it this way, there's a different shame, just the Laharos Torah Mitzvos. You have a model for that in Ezer Neshach. Just an example, Ribis, there's several different formulations. There's Neshach Ochel, there's Neshach Kesef, there's Tarbis. The formulations, the Gemara explains, are they're just Riboy Ha'azharos, just addressing different multiple cases, just all part of the bulking up, so to speak, by the Rosh Hashanah of Torah Mitzvos.
Riboy Ha'azharos, that's connected to what you were saying before, the Ha'azharos Torah Mitzvos?
Yes. It's a broader topic about, and we'll discuss a little bit, one case of Lav or Lav Shnei Lav, and why the Torah does it. The Chinuch, I think I quoted it here. And he says, "The Akavanelam beOmram Mitzvos." And he says that Sheratz Makom Zakos Israel Fichach Hir Belahem Mitzvos Akavanelam beOmram Mitzvos Gamal Azharos. This is the Chinuch and Pidshu. Right, Hir Belahem Azharos Harbe Bameshi Yev Sharlo Diya Bazharachas. Just a matter of the way the Torah Mishlam gave it. So in theory, that's a general point that he's making there, and he makes it in the context of what we're discussing. Actually, we'll get to that. That. It's simply what Rabbeinu Shlomo could have said, Azharachas, I'll say in two, and essentially we have then equivalent Isurim, or no, or perhaps they are actually quite different in their nature. And I think the way that we can approach this is by asking the question regarding Kefal. We know that the Torah is explicit about at least one difference between the Dine Gneva of Gzela, and that is that the Chiyuv Kefal, the Torah is explicit that there's, that whereas a Gazlan is simply Chayav on the, to return the item itself or the Keren in terms of the money, the Ganav is Chayav Kefal. And what we could ask is, first of all, why is there this difference of Kefal? What's different about Geneva that accounts for its having a more Chacham or Onesh? And second, and this is the way it relates as far as the overall question that we're posing here, is whether or not there are other potential manifestations of that. Is there anything beyond Kefal? Is that expressed perhaps in the nature of the Isser, or is that just a sort of an isolated din that the Torah happens to, there's something different about Geneva, there's something more chumra about Geneva, or this, that expresses itself simply in an additional halacha of Kefal, but other than that, in every other way, we're dealing with simply two parallel similar Isurim. That's the question. So, in terms of the first question, why is Geneva different? So here, the Gemara asks it explicitly and directly, that exact question. Right, the Gemara asks, that the Gemara reports that the Talmid Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai asked the Rebbe, "Mipnei ma'achim your Torah beganav yosrim begazlan?" And essentially, his answer, the Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's answer, is that there's a bein adam lemakom element to the avera here in the case of Geneva. That the fact that he's doing this beseser, there's something about that which is problematic in terms of what it broadcasts regarding the Ribbono Shel Olam. In particular, it's kind of a kfira. In what way? By indicating, by showing that he is somebody who does not want to be seen. Right? The Ganav doesn't want anybody to know that he's a Ganav, that he's somebody who steals. But rather than refrain from it at all, he goes ahead and just make sure that nobody can see him. The problem, of course, is that somebody can't see him. Right? There is somebody who knows that he's a Ganav, whose opinion matters more than anybody else's, knows that you're stealing. So in Kvar, he is concerned about, you know, how he's seen by others, he's leaving out the Ribbono Shel Olam. Whereas the Gazlan, so he's just not concerned. He doesn't mind if anybody knows, including the Ribbono Shel Olam, so he doesn't care if people know, he doesn't care if the Ribbono Shel Olam knows. So there's a certain level playing field in terms of what he's trying to avoid. Nobody. So that there's a problem with specifically Geneva, Shalo Hishvek, Kvod Eved, Kvod Kono. Kaviyachol, this broadcasts the idea that Asa Ayin Shamata Kilo Eino Roev, Ozin Shamata Kilo Eino Shamas. Right, as long as nobody sees him, no people see him, so then he nobody knows. Then he's fine.
Ayin Shamata is referring to people?
No.
Because Rav is referred to as Shamata?
I'm not sure the phrase Ayin Shamata. But either way, the idea is either you don't care about the Baruch Shalom, I would say, or you don't believe the Baruch Shalom can see you, or you don't believe in the Baruch Shalom. There's something that suggests some sort of heresy here by your trying to avoid notice, and yet you have no problem with the fact that the Baruch Shalom can see you. Meir presents the Mashal in the name of Ben Gamliel that you have two people. One of them has a party, doesn't invite anybody from the city, just, I guess, his closest friends. The other person invites everybody from the city, but leaves out the Melech. So there's a problem here that exists with regard to the latter. It doesn't exist with regard to the former. The former should have invited people. He didn't invite anybody. Fine. This one invites everybody but the most important person. So there's a broadcasting of kind of a kfira. He sort of just ignores their Baruch Shalom. So all that is something which is associated with Geneva. And that's the Gemara says, that's the reason for the Chumrah of Kefa. In the Meiri's explanation and formulation of this, right, avera maguna kopanim over avera b'seiser harei zekilu dochek ragle ashchina. By doing it b'seiser, so you apparently care what people think of you. So you're being dochek ragle ashchina. You're saying, he doesn't see me here, right? Kilu shala b'sechlo mitzias hashkacha. So yisbarach mimakom sheover bo lamar ina shem roinu. So that's the reason. Question that this raises is whether or not this is the only reason. Is it the sole exclusive answer? Or perhaps there's other answers that can be given, most likely in addition to Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai is communicating one difference, but perhaps there are other, maybe even more primary reasons in addition. So we find, at least in some Rishonim, that they assume this latter position. They assume that this was not the sole exclusive reason. First, you find, right, this is overall the second reason why there's a difference in terms of the chumrah of kefel. The second reason you find is articulated in the Rambam. The Rambam in Mornavuchim Chelakim Perek Mem Aleph presents principles regarding what is the cause of an onesh's severity. Right, you find that you have various onshim of various severities. So what is it that accounts for that? And he says that it's determined by four factors. He actually says this. He addresses this right after the piece that he talks about specifically, after he speaks about Geneva Gzeila, which I'll go back to, he just mentioned Hakdama Dasha Godal Onush Vachizuk Tzara Vekanus Vekalos Sivlo Yevchinas Arba Dvarim. So what determines it is four things, and the first he says is Godal Achet. That's in Ibn Tibbon's translation. In the translation of Rav Kafich, it's Chomer Avera. Now it isn't clear exactly what this means. It could mean, on the one hand, it could mean the inherent severity of the Avera as an Avla, as an evil, spiritual evil, moral evil, etc. Or it could relate to the seriousness and severity of the consequences of that Avera, let's say, upon society. They don't always go hand in hand. Just as an example, Rami Hilchos Rotzeach V'Nishmiras HaNefesh notes that the din of Kippah, that a person, a Rotzeach, that was horeg, let's say shalom, let's say you have edus miuches, so let's say lora ze, you know, this aid didn't see that aid, right? The din of the nefashos generally, you need edus sheni miuches, you need edus nachon. It has to be that they both see each other and the event. So let's say you have people that didn't see each other, so that's edus sheni miuches, that's edus miuches. So the Mishnah says that a rotzeach sheharag with edus miuches, or let's say with, there was some problem with the hasra, basically a rotzeach b'mezid, but we can't, for technical reasons, actually prosecute him and pursue the onesh. So there's a lach of kippah that we place him in a chamber where he's fed very little and dies soon after, sort of passively on you know, by our hands. So that halacha, which Ron actually in Sanhedrin asks the question whether or not that's a din derabanan, is din deraisa. He assumes, and this is, there's some support for this in the Gemara Bodhazara, that the dinim of kippa are all halachos of Moshe B'Sinai. So let's assume that that's halachos of B'Sinai. Okay, so this halacha, says the Rambam, that's something which is actually unique to Ritzicha. In fact, the Mishnah doesn't say that it's unique to Ritzicha, it only mentions Ritzicha. The Rambam says this is something which we do regarding Ritzicha and nothing else. And the Rambam there explains that even though, says the Rambam, if you ask what's the most chamor avera, he says it's not Ritzicha, because Ritzicha, after all, only gets hereg, right? It's just by Sayif, and Skil and Serifah are both more chamor than hereg. So it's not the most chamor avera, but in Bedavar, I think in Bishar Averas, Hashkasas Yeshuvo Sha'olam, right, so that in terms of what is the greatest harm, what wreaks the greatest havoc upon society, that is undoubtedly the avera of Ritzicha, and he goes on to prove it. My point is only just to highlight the idea that there could be a chumrah in terms of its inherent severity and a chumrah in terms of its impact upon society. Gezel might be actually another example of that, where it sort of punches above its weight in terms of its impact upon society. Gemara Sanhedrin, actually, this is Parsha, it's in Nan Yoma, right? They were overall a call. Gilei Raios, Shrichas Damim, but Lo Nechlam Gzar Dinam, this is Dar Mabol, El Al Gezel, Al Hamas, right? So, it could be understood, and it's a larger point, but actually Gezel itself might punch beyond its weight in that same way, which, in terms of this, it's a lava Amanoinen, but it seems to have more of a societal impact. So that's two, I'm not sure what the Rama means. If you're looking at the Kafach translation, Chomer Havera, I would say it tends towards that understanding of it. But if you look at the Ibn Tibbon, Godel Ched or Godel Hefsed, perhaps it means, perhaps it's referring to the seriousness of the consequences. Either way, it's one of those two factors. That's the first one the Rama mentions. Then he mentions an additional three, but they're all very closely related, even though the Rama considered them apparently independent. The second, he says, is the rov mitzius of the avera, the prevalence of the avera, with the theory being that the more prevalent an avera is, the more chamor its owner needs to be in order to uproot it. Then he has the third factor, which is godol ha-hasasa, how naturally tempting and compelling is it. Right, the more naturally tempted one would be, the greater the owner needs to be in order to firm up our ability to withstand it. Right, I mean, there's something that is really, really quite tempting, so it's just a little bit. You know, the Torah apparently treats it as a peccadillo, so then it might be worth it. Whereas if it's, you know, something which much more severe avera, that it'll be greater, it'll be more easily deterred. And then I would say what he says, the ease of execution of the avera. How simple is it to socially actually get away with it? That equates essentially with how is it easy to do without being seen. The more easy it is to do without others noticing, so then the only barrier, the only obstacle is the person's yirat shamayim, or the person's fear of punishment, and the more stringent an onus is necessary. So that's his general theory, says the Rambam, the Rambam that he presents. And then he addresses, actually before he presented that, he actually addresses specifically Gneva versus Gzela in this context. And here it's not so clear, though. Yes?
So if it's easier to do this, then the onus will be greater?
Yes, as a matter of deterrent. In other words, if it's something which is... when you say easier, do you mean meaning of something which, you know, people would do because there's no other social obstacle, let's say, to it, so people could do it all the time. So then there's says the Rambam, that could be a factor which will heighten the Avera's onesh, because the Ribbono Shel Olam is trying to, you know, put in your path something which would keep you on course, in you know, and it needs to be when it's a social when to do it is something which is socially disastrous, right, for you. Your reputation, right? So then, less you don't need as much of an onish, I think, to deter you. That's if you look at the Rambam, that's what it sounds like he's saying, right? That oh, should be yesh behanach so tzar gadol biyaduah shelo yimna mimenu ela ayiras never gadol. So, right? If it's a social obstacle, so then you'll refrain from it. If there's no social obstacle, the only way you can compensate, the Ribbono Shel Olam in a sense compensates by increasing its onus. This is the Rambam. I didn't make this up. Yeah.
It doesn't seem like any of them are like as results that you did this, you're getting punished. It seems like they're all like means to prevent.
To deterrence. Well, that's a significant function of onshim is the deterrence. Indeed.
Did he mention anything that's not the...
I think the first... So that's a... Yeah, the first one. The first one is certainly not. I think you're right. That's why I say all three of the rest of them are all related in that they're all being calibrated according to the as a deterrent to them, but that's what the Rambam suggests. You know, he says, that sheni rov himatzav shadavar hu nimtza yoseh roi sheyimena beonesh chazak yimaneya beonesh chazak minia. Right, the point there is that needs to, the onesh needs to be more serious because it needs to serve as a deterrent. So what he says, right? The shlishi rov hasasa bedavar sheni shadam nises bo yoseh li yoseh taiva mivial of mode. It's something very tempting. And so again, so the Rambam lists the third three are all matters of calibrating for the deterrence of the Avera. Okay? So
even the first one could say no.
I don't think so. I think there he's saying that's just a matter of
the consequences that they have greater consequences.
Right. It could be that's what he's saying. That would be if you would take the view that what it means is not the sort of the inherent severity, but it's the societal impact. Then it could be a matter of, you know, well, we want to deter that even more. It could also just be, though, that even if it's being measured by societal impact, that itself is something that we'd want to, you know, that warrants an onesh. You could say after the fact, having destroyed society requires a certain kind of onesh, regardless of whether or not that's going to be something which deters. Anyway, the Rambam, that's the basic background, and the Rambam addresses specifically our question. And he doesn't give the answer that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai gives. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai's answer, I think, clearly is located squarely within the first one, right? The first point, which is that it's more chomer. There's something about it which is inherently worse. Now he may, I'm not sure. He may, the Rambam, point to something which is the first is chomer havera in the sense of godel hefsed. And this is, let me just take a look. So why is it he says that? Right? So there it's clear, I think, he's referring to the prevalence of it, the role of himatzus, that it's just more prevalent. Then he says, I'm not sure what that factor is related to. Is that just explaining why it's more nimtza? Right, I'm not sure. V'efshar la'adam la'shamar min ha'gazlan v'la'amod k'negdo v'yefshar kain imaganav. There too, I'm not sure. Is that a reason why there are few? We find fewer gazlan ganavim than we find ganav. I'm sorry, we find fewer gazlanim than we find ganavim because the gazlan knows that he's going. I mean, he's confronting somebody, so the person can fight back and prevent it. Whereas the ganav, he wants to do it so that he doesn't have that problem. Or is it there's something there's something along the lines of the godel ha'asasa? I think that's also possible. How tempting is it? It's not an explanation of the metzias. It's just sort of what the natural temptation leads. The natural temptation is not to go over to somebody and, you know, beat him into submission and take his item. It's to try to avoid. Then he says v'ocha gazan yadua v'vukash v'shtadlu lehotzi miyado mashlokach v'ganav ino yadua. So I think it's a mixture mostly of two, three, and four. Meaning it's either just the mitzius issue, or it's the issue of the hasasa, how naturally tempting is it, or it's the factor of the ease of execution. Can I get away with it without people others noticing? Right, the more covert it is, the lesser the social obstacle, the more the onesh needs to bulk up the deterrent. It may also relate to the first, the godel hefsed, as if you interpret it as not so much the chomer havera, the inherent quality and character of the havera, but the impact that it reckons. If you interpret this last point that the Rambam mentions, namely the fact that it's easily recoverable, maybe that's an issue of, you know, so it's not as bad because after all the gazlan you can actually recover the money from, whereas the ganav nobody knows what to do. So it could be that's chomer hadavar, in the sense, if you assume that chomer hadavar doesn't mean the inherent avera, how bad is it, but rather sort of what is the impact of it. So maybe the Rambam is saying there that fourth factor actually relates to the first point as well. It's a mixed bag. Either way, what is clear is it has nothing to do with the inherent nature of it, and certainly not Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's answer. So that's the Rambam. I think it's possible to suggest, however, a third answer, which has to do with the inherent chumrah of the avera, but not Rabbi Yochanan's ben adam l'makom, but rather an alternative which relates both Bein Adam L'Chaveiro and also Bein Adam L'Atzmo. In particular, perhaps, what makes it more chamor is the element of deceit and duplicity involved, the element of harama involved in an act of geneva. There's, if you will, a geneva's das element to geneva. Geneva's das, just the term in the Aveira itself, so there are two aspects to that, and I think this is quite possibly reflected in the fact that the Rambam has it in two places, right? He has it, one, in Hilchos Deos, and he also has it in Hilchos Mechira, right? Hilchos Mechira, also the Rambam's Bnei Adam, Mekachub Memkar, Ognovas Datam, Rambam Hilchos Deos, also the Adam Lahanigatum, Bedivre Chalakus Pitoi, Veloye Echeb Pevech Belev, Vasa Lignov Das Abrios, Vafio Das Anachri, Vachule. So I think that reflects the fact that there are really two dimensions to the Aveira, to the vice of Genevas Das. On the one hand, one level, it's an interpersonal avel. It's a crime against somebody. The act of deceiving somebody, of pulling the wool over their eyes, itself is a crime against him. The way I would explain this is that you're, in a sense, robbing him of his awareness of reality. The Ribono Shel Olam was chonin l'adam das, to be able to discern, to realize, to be able to understand what's going on around him and to react. And you're robbing him of that. Maybe that's where the phrase genevas das. No, I'm just saying the Rambam has it in Hilchos Mechira. You also have, yeah, and if you will, yeah. Meaning it's the Bein Adam, I'm just pointing out that the Rambam has it in two places. I think that's not a coincidence. It's both in what I'm describing now is the Bein Adam L'Makom. I'm not saying the Rambam gets into this here. He just mentions the fact that it's us. I'm describing it myself. That the Yisr is sort of a dehumanizing element to it. The Ribono Shel Olam separated us by giving us das, and you're making this person, you're fooling him, you're deceiving him, you're preventing him from realizing what's going on. So that itself is an interpersonal avel. And then secondly, it also is an avera, it's an advice, it's bein adam la'atzmo, personal character trait, a dea ra, or mida ra. And that has to do with the fact that the Torah wants you to be somebody of integrity. And this is where the Rambam places it when he talks about Hilchos Deos, right, that a person should be somebody who's not echa b'peh v'echa b'lev. You have to have integrity. Toku k'baro, inyan sh'b'lev hu adavar sh'b'peh. Just be straight with people. So that's the second element, the bein adam l'atzmo element of genevas das. So I would argue that the genevas das element of genevas mamon is what separates it from gezel, and what is responsible for the chumrah of kefel. The gonev mamon doesn't simply deprive the bialim of mamon. He commits genevas das. He does that via an act of cheating him, cheating the bialim, cheating society, of their awareness of the ability to see what they're dealing with, to see who they're dealing with, to see what's going on. He's deceiving them, he's fooling them, he's undermining them. Gazlan doesn't do any of that. Gazlan's straight with you. Gazlan lets you know what's going on. And then in terms of the personal character, there's a certain straightness, there's a certain integrity to the Gazlan, even as he's a Gazlan. But he's not trying to fool anybody, he's not trying to make off as if he's something that he isn't. He's being honest. There's an honesty to it, which doesn't exist with regard to the Ganav, who presents himself one way and acts another way. So Mitzasi Tana de Misaya, that's what I thought, this made sense. And then Mitzasi Tana de Misaya, I believe, in the Rush. The Rush, in the Perush Al Torah, asks the same question, actually, even in the way the Gemara is, similar to the way the Gemara comments. If Tomar b'nei Maz, Hira Torah, Ganav, Yosef, and Gazlam, V'ksiv, V'shev, Zgela, meaning only V'shev, Zgela, whereas Gneva, you have Chiyuv Kefel. And I would suggest that this works well first in a couple of places. First, this works well with the context in which the Isser appears in the Torah. Right? The Isser of Gneva appears. Lo signova, lo sechrashuv, lo sechakru, ish ba misel. Right? It's in the context of precisely that issue of don't deceive people. And this is exactly how Chazal understood this. And they understood the smichos isurim here to reflect this point. Lo signova, lo sechrashuv, lo sechakru, and then it's followed by lo sechavavu vishmi shaker. Ha inginata sofcha lechache, sofcha lechaker, sofcha lechav vishmi shaker. You're going to, you're internalizing that mida of deception. So you start out with the Geneva, then you're just going to simply be a Mechagesh, you're going to be a Meshaker, be Ishbami so, Bepeh, and then you'll simply be Losi Shavu Vishmi the Shaker. So you have the whole development of, and of course, with Sheker being one of the Chamuros, it's another one that punches above its weight, it's one of the Chamuros in terms of the arba chilkei kapara, b'shas she, you know, the one of the iyumim that people that the Beis delivers before a person takes a shvuah, the Gemara in Shvuah says, is that, you know, the world shook when Akash Baruch Hu said, Losi Shavu Bishmin Shaker. So just remember that. So that's another one that kind of, you know, is even though in terms of its onish, it actually is not reflective, because the onish is simply a malchus, but nonetheless, from the Chamuros. But so it's clearly a pattern of deception, of deceit, and I think that could be what that reflects as well. And then in addition, here's something, Ozzy, you said way back when. I think it also perhaps more easily aligns with particular shitas regarding the parameters, because we mentioned that then, right? We mentioned there's machlokas in Rishonim about what's the situation of somebody who mastir someone abaylim but not mishara b'nei adam, right? So we saw that the Piskei Riyaz and the Rid, they both say that person is a ganav. Ezo ganav zeo gazlan. This is the Piskei Riyaz example. Hayo mastir someone abaylim but ino mastir atzmo b'shara b'nei adam. You're still a ganav. So now here I would say that if you ask me, is this person not being mashve kvod kono l'kvod, kvod rabo l'kvod eved? So I think there's a strong argument to make to say that he is, meaning he's not. He only doesn't want the person who he's depriving the money to know that he's doing this to him. So that's who he doesn't want. That's why he doesn't want somebody to see. Not because he doesn't want to be noticed. He actually doesn't care if it happens to be other people see him. He doesn't want the bailim to know that he's doing it to him. So if that's the case, so then the Ribbono Shel Olam is not being treated even lower than people. It's actually equivalent. The Ribbono Shel Olam too is not the person whose money he's taking, right? So in a sense, you might say that if it were an issue really of just not being mashvek kvod ha-rav kvod ha-eved, so I'm not sure that if the only eved that you're afraid, that you're trying to avoid, the only eved you're trying to ensure doesn't see you is the person whose money it is, that would be really warranted, that to say that you're not actually being mashvek kvod eved, because anybody who's not to buy them, you don't mind. One could still say, but still, if there's a person in it all that you don't want to trying to avoid, you don't want to know, and you don't care about the marshal, but I think it undermines a lot of the sharpness of the problem if you're talking about somebody who actually is only trying to avoid the Bible. Whereas, if the issue is the Gnevas Das element of it, right, if the issue is to deceive somebody like that, so then it makes perfect sense. You're deceiving him. Gnevas Das certainly exists there. So that, I think, works better than in terms of just that sheet of what ganav is. I think that works better with this assumption that what's significant about it is the ganavus alchem. And that would be, according to this view, the reason for the chumrah of kefil. I also should mention that I think some of this might be reflected in the Rambam and Sefer Mitzos, and also Sefer Reish Ram Zayin, when he says that the isser of ganava is, when he defines it, is betachpula uveseser. Tachpula has that connotation, I think. It's not an issue of it has a connotation of scheming, of manipulative sort of deception, right? But tachbulos tasu mechama, right? So I think it clearly points to that element of deception and deceit, and particularly perhaps the bnei adam lechavero element of that. When you describe that the parameters of it are betachbula, I don't know if that really suggests as much the issue of the chumra bnei adam lemaga. Okay, so that's a possibility. So that's in terms of kefil, right? So we saw three reasons essentially for kefil. There's one, the bein adam l'makom. There's the bein adam l'makom. Okay, so should we maybe pick up on this next time, or what's the thinking here? Next time we'll pick it up, or yeah, I guess it makes sense, right?